Half a day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Being in a place to realize that even as the early church you read through, you realize that worship unites our voices and our lives together.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
Much of the parts of worship in the early church were the same expressions that you'll end up finding through Scripture. Even as we've looked at the book of Psalms in and out all through the year and portraits of who God is, as we have now looking at He is our King, that those Psalms of Maskil, there were 13 of them in the book of Psalms. All of those are instructional Psalms that document what was that worship in the day of the Jews. Much of what they did is out of the New Testament, you find New Testament churches expressing of worship. What were the parts of that worship to the King? What is biblical worship? Let me give you these seven. I'm just going to click them off very quickly. I'm not going to touch on a lot of them, but I want you to understand that out of this worship, it's important to know because, listen, it's not just something that, okay, I feel good about and so I'm going to do as a pastor or as deacons or what you think. Because this is, in essence, what you're finding out there today in many churches. If this is what you think, you go ahead and express this. You want to end up lighting a candle and standing there and looking at God at that candle, you do so. If you want to express yourself in the dance, then you do so. If you want to express yourself in sitting in the dark, you do so. However it takes, whatever it takes you to connect to God, that's okay. Because it's all postmodern in its theology. It is past knowing what genuine truth is. You say, Pastor, you're talking like up here. Let me get it right down here. The bottom line is the Scriptures do teach what should be a part of worship. What is that? Let me give you these seven. Number one, very simply, that worship is a time of quieting our hearts and confession of sin. I touched about it earlier as far as the Old Testament's concerned. I jotted down some reference of Job 1:20 and Ezra 8:21. Those are reference points to understanding that in the early church, that actually there were greetings and there were benedictions, all of them a part of church worship. That's why we take time at the beginning of services to be able to get a chance to shake hands and to greet some that maybe you've not met before, some that you haven't seen for a while. That's why we do that, and that's why we do what we do in our services. In addition to that, number two, worship unites our voices and our own lives then in the singing with a praise-filled heart. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 5:18 and 19, worshiping together, singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There was a sense in which in the early church, there's a great expression, that singing of those psalms that we have recorded, some of the same psalms that they sang, and hymns and spiritual songs. Those spiritual songs were actually many of the doctrine that was put to music, which is so often the case today. They were current. They were fresh. They were passionate. They were meaningful as they were singing from their heart. Many times for most of us that don't do a lot of singing, it's a hard thing to be able to get the voices out and our faces say what our hearts might be feeling. Sometimes it's pretty difficult. You know, there's an expression here as far as this music is concerned I think is tremendously important because the fact is that music is a teacher. It does teach us something. Teaching ourselves, instructing ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Music will teach you doctrine. That's why it was so important in the early church that we have some of our hymns today. You say, I don't like those. I don't identify with those. It helps us to be able to teach the music. By the way, in good music, you always have a right text. You always have the right tune. And you always end up having an element in a church setting. Is this going to end up tending to the sheep? Is it going to end up helping us as sheep, strengthening us and building us? Many times from music becomes a focus more than Christ. Being in a place to realize that even as the early church you read through, you realize that worship unites our voices and our lives together. Number three, worship includes reading of Scripture. 1 Timothy 4:13. Understand where it says giving attendance through reading. Paul was talking to a young pastor and he said, listen, Timothy, you read the scripture. That's why we do that. We read scripture. It becomes a center point for us that now we can understand it. Number four, understand that worship also unites believers in prayer. Being a place to realize that prayer out of Acts chapter 2, verse 1, as well as 1 Timothy 2:8, identifies that prayer, even as Paul said to a young pastor in Timothy, and he said it later as well to Titus, he said that as you're praying, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In earlier years, used to be a church where they would end up lifting hands. They said, well, that's a holy thing. And it is a holy thing. But you look in Scripture, in that particular text, you realize that lifting up of holy hands was one in which it was given to the men in church. It was very gender specific that time. And actually, lifting up holy hands in the context of that was a symbolic expression of a pure heart. So it wasn't so much the act as much as it was a symbolic of a heart saying, God, I'm adoring you. You say, well, does that excluding women? It didn't, because 1 Timothy 2, actually verse 9 says, in like manner also that women, you adorn yourselves, not in holy hands, but in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becomes women professing godliness with good works. Man, in the early church, evidently, there were some issues there in Ephesus, as well as it is in Cyprus with Titus, where you end up finding there was difficulties with how people were coming to church and how their dress was. Paul had to say, listen, you know what? Listen, for ladies, you come, you adorn yourselves with modest apparel. There were issues in that day because ladies were coming in. They were dressed so to the hilt. Even James in Jerusalem addressed the same thing. And the whole focus got off on what we were looking like rather than who we were. And in that particular case, evidently there was some immodesty going on because ladies were coming in, dressing like the world. And Paul was saying, listen, Timothy, you address that. They need to be coming in with shamefacedness, with sobriety. They come in knowing, listen, they're standing before God. How do you want to dress when you're going to stand before God? What if Jesus walked right through those back doors and came right here? I see it every so often when they know I'm a pastor. I walk someplace, I'll go someplace, and some ladies all of a sudden, you know, feel a little bit uncomfortable about it. Boy, you know, you want to end up saying, God, I'm always before you. Do you remember we talked about? Our body is God's temple and how we're going to clothe it. We don't want to end up distracting people from their worship. We want to encourage them to worship God. And that's why, and you understand, that idea of prayer is so critical. Put down Matthew 21:13. I'm going to move on off this topic. But Matthew 21:13, Jesus himself walked into the temple, the very temple that we started with Solomon. It had been redone a number of times by Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, and the walls, and Herod himself that began to add to this temple. You'll realize at that particular time, these people were worshiping God. And Jesus himself walks into the temple. He was so fit to be tied because, do you remember, these were those that were selling monies. To that time, to be able to offer sacrifices, you had to take your money and come to the money changers. Now you had to take your money and they would change for temple money. They would cut a cut of that. Now you take the temple money. Now you go over and buy sheep. Now you can offer your sheep. And Jesus got mad. In the Greek, it means torqued. I think that's in there somewhere. He got so mad. Why? Because the worship in his house was being violated. And he made the statement to them after taking the whips and driving the money changers out, which was a fulfillment, by the way, of Jeremiah 7, that he fulfilled scripture in that because he said, listen, my Father's house is a house of prayer. Hey, when you come in, we don't come into the temple. We are the temple. This building is not the church. We are the church. And the most holy moment of the church is when we walk out those doors into community. That's why the time of prayer is so critically important. We have a specific time on Wednesday nights. We spend some time studying God's Word. We try and take a large part of that and lifting before God those needs of prayer. It's critically important. Number five, also understand that worshiping together feeds us through teaching and preaching, as it was with Ezra in chapter 8, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 14, of those gifts that the church was given. By the way, there were speaking gifts, there were serving gifts, and there were sign gifts. And don't get that mixed up. Because you have to understand, the early church, there were sign gifts given. Hence why you find the ability to speak in tongues, a known language. It was no prayer language. It was a known language, another tongue, so that they could end up speaking and the unsaved unbeliever could hear and prophesy and realize this is the gift of salvation. That's why Acts 2 is all about it. And the preaching was to the church, believers. And that's why Paul said later, it's the foolishness of preaching that people are saved. That's why a primary part of most of our services are related to the preaching of God's word. It's not an ego trip. It's a truth in which God says, I elevate the preaching. By the way, you need to have more preaching than just a Sunday morning or Sunday night, my friend. You need to regularly. There is much to be tuned in as far as preaching is concerned. I'm thankful our radio station to have some good preaching on. And it helps you to be able to mature you in your walk with God. Number six, worship involves giving of offerings. Just as it was with 1 Corinthians 16:21, where they took the offerings regularly. It was given methodically. It was given willfully. It was given cheerfully. It was given from the heart. And God says, I'll honor that. And that's why you find through scriptures, the Old Testament was the tithe, a symbolic illustration starting at tithe, 10%. So the New Testament, as he said, Malachi, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And for a while in the Jewish culture, they weren't doing that. They were bringing once a year. Listen, they were bringing their sacrifices. And they got to the idea eventually, because God was not invisible, they didn't see God, that they decided, you know what I think we're going to do? I think what I can do is offer the sacrifices. So they would go under their sheepfold, and they'd end up picking the blind and lame, and they'd grab that little lamb, and they'd offer that to God. And God said, Malachi 1, do you not know that I see what you're offering? You're giving, listen, you're giving me the scraps. That's exactly what it's saying. You're giving me the scraps. You're giving me the leftovers. And later Malachi 2, he said, are you going to rob God? Are you going to rob me? Do you think that's possible to rob me? And he was saying it as if, no, you can't rob God. So the offering is a worshipful act to God. God, I'm giving you not out of what I have left, but the very first fruits. That's why I use the term tithe or 10%. So he's just saying, hey, just start there. So now the grace giving out of the New Testament minimally starts with giving. And where was the giving to be given? Out into the temple? No, because the temple isn't there. Where's the temple? You and I in our body meeting together in a church. So where does he say to give that? To the church. You know what it does when you end up giving a tithe to the church? It communicates, it's not mine any longer, God. This is yours. I have no control over it. Over the last few years in ministry, I found that lots of folks who said, well, you know what? I think I have a better idea where to give my 10% than where the church does. And now you end up having not the issue of money, but control. Because people are saying, I know better. Well, the fact of the matter is, no one person is deciding that money. It ends up going, in our situation, into the offering that goes into our funds, which drives our annual budget, so that we can end up as a group deciding where this money ends up going. Now, above and beyond that, if I want to give offerings to others, wonderful, and I encourage you to do that. Now, all of that is based on understanding that lastly, this is a point of worship, which finished with number seven, the fact that worship also includes ordinances of baptism and communion. And that's why we practice this.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.